Welcome to the Bonding Time Podcast. This is Lou Dre. I'm really glad to be here with you today. It's been quite a while since I've released an episode. I'm going to have another storytelling episode coming out soon where we just talk about the birth of our new baby and what we're walking through with him. Thank you so much for all of your prayer and support and kind words. It's meant the world to us. Thank you so much for that. Today's guest is Kari Patterson. Look her up across the internet and follow her. She's a bright light. She has so much wisdom to share. I really enjoyed our conversation. Also, go follow her podcast. Subscribe to her podcast, Kari Patterson, where she talks about her project, The Second Mile. I have loved following along with her, so I know you will too. Enjoy my conversation today with Kari Patterson.
Well, I am Kari Patterson, and where to begin? We have my husband and I live outside Portland. We have a 13-year-old, almost 14, and 11-and-a-half-year-old, and then a 2-year-old, and then I'm due on election day, oddly enough. So another one on the way. We've got a decade between our big kids and our little kids. Yeah, I've lived in the Pacific Northwest my whole life and just have a passion for God's word, and especially seeing women know the freedom that God brings to our lives. And so I've been talking to women, writing for them for the past, been speaking at conferences and so forth for about the last 12 years. And yeah, that is definitely my passion, is just seeing women know the truth and, like God says, that it can set us free. So,
absolutely. Yeah. So when you're speaking and traveling mostly, is there like a certain subject you mostly talk about, or is it just kind of anything?
Yeah. You know, my passion since really right after college has been what I call the sacred mundane. And I have a paperback book that's out called Sacred Mundane, available wherever. And the gist behind that is that there is no sacred secular duality in our lives. So rather than thinking, okay, these are the things that matter to God, these are the places that I meet with God, these are sort of the religious experiences of my life, and then here's the normal, mundane, boring, nitty-gritty, monotonous stuff. The gist of the sacred mundane is that God actually uses the regular, ordinary stuff of life, not the mountaintop spiritual experiences, if you will, but the everyday stuff of life, to most reach us and to most show us who He is and how He can change us and set us free if we will learn to see Him and interact with Him in the daily ordinary. And so I'd say overall, that is my life's passion, is just seeing Him and interacting with Him and relating with Him in the ordinary details of life, and then helping people see Him there. So helping, especially women, helping, you know, lots of times we're very entrenched in the ordinary stuff of life. You know, my life is very, very ordinary. Right. And so helping women to see Him and relate with Him and see all of life as worship, to see their lives as not, okay, this is prayer and Bible study, and then here's the rest of my life, but all of life being worship and hearing from God and speaking to God and seeing Him. So overall, I would say that's sort of the theme. I have many different, topic and sure. Retreat, things like that. But that'd be sort of like the overall sort of thrust of.
Yeah, I love passion. That. I love that you would invite people into that. It took me way too many years to just find what is holy in, like more holy ground is found in like the everyday places, especially where you do feel invisible or forgotten. That's beautiful. Yeah. So tell me what led up to your podcast. Tell me a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah. So the podcast right now is focused on what I call the second mile. And, you know, because we're just living life and God interrupts us in various ways. It was a few years ago, actually 2 years ago, that one of my very, very best friends, spent the day with her today, walked through an incredibly horrible, painful, betrayal and, tragic circumstance. And her kids are like my own kids. I mean, I love them like my own. And walking with her through that and learning about forgiveness, and especially when Jesus talks about turning the cheek and offering the cloak and going the second mile, and specifically loving our enemies, and the freedom and the power that is found in that completely upside down way of life. We sort of traveled that road together, and it birthed this, another, I would say this is now my secondary passion, which is the second mile. And that is this, again, completely upside down way of relating to hurts and mistreatments and injustices through the method that Jesus employs in the scriptures, which is completely opposite of what the world says. And so through studying that and chewing on that and walking with her through that, it birthed what began as a retreat. So started teaching on that and did some different workshop seminars on that, and then actually turned into a book. And so I was partway through the book. I don't remember how far I got in writing that, but was working on that for upwards of a year. And some different circumstances that came up sort of turned my direction away from writing a book on the second mile to starting a podcast on the second mile. So there are a lot of different reasons for that. But it does seem like for a topic that can be that potentially, I don't know what word, just really difficult. We're living in a time of incredible tension and unrest and hurt and divide. Wow. And so I think it's easier to talk about these things where there's a voice and there's inflection, and it can be really hard to write. Yeah. Just to write those things down, pen and paper, black and white, and not be able to share your heart as easily. So anyway, all that to say, we've really just been diving into the second mile via podcast and going a few different directions too, because it brings up a lot of different issues. Emotions is a huge one that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't love our enemies until we figure out how to stop hating them, which mm-hmm. has a lot to do with our emotions. So that's been where, you know, just personally speaking, that's where this topic came from. Mm-hmm. But since then, it's been fascinating. I mean, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of women who are learning about this second mile way of living that is transforming marriages, transforming some of the issues we're seeing right now in our day, and how we see the other, how we see the enemy, how we see the other side. I think it has the potential to change a lot in our culture if we would take Jesus at his word. So yeah, that's sort of where it all stemmed from. I actually didn't want to do a podcast. I'm not very technically savvy. I'm really bad in technology. Yeah. So it just sort of came about. So. Yeah.
Oh, it's so needed to hear. I mean, the best thing would be is if we could just gather around like a dinner table.
Yeah.
But to hear someone's voice and to hear, like you're saying, the inflection in their voice and the compassion in their voice is really disarming. And it's so needed, just like the personal touches of, and like, I don't know, it helps people believe you too, when you say there's freedom in this other way of living. Cause it's so, I mean, it's destructive to relationships, but I feel like this intense way we're living is so physically and emotionally destructive to ourselves. We're hurting mostly ourselves first, and then going out and hurting all the people around us that we love the most. How do we not be led only by our feelings?
Yeah.
How do we take small steps and turn the dial a few degrees towards emotional health and clarity? I guess we could start there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think there's we've been in a little bit of a dangerous space as a world, certainly as a nation, because at the same time that we've been kind of at home, separated from actually seeing the whites of the eyes of people, right? Actually interacting as much in person, more time online, more time in social media, more time probably taking in media and news. Mm-hmm. So we've got this isolation factor, we've got stress, we've got anxieties over so many different things. And then you add in some of these truly tragic circumstances, and you have the perfect opportunity for us to just be out of our minds with anxiety and depression and frustration. And so I think, you know, in terms of our emotions, for me, this journey began, you kind of mentioned this, but my journey began with this sort of light bulb moment that again seems very basic, but it is simply that how I feel does not get the final say in my life, and that no one, no person, and no circumstance has the authority to dictate to me how I feel. So no person by how they treat me, no news by, you know, circumstance that comes in has the right to tell me that I'm going to have a bad day, or that I'm going to be grumpy, or that I'm going to be rude, or anything. Jesus Christ is the only one who gets the final say on how I'm going to act and how I'm going to feel. And that small little shift in my mind, you know, it's just very, very small little change began changing everything. Because yeah, I mean, I realized I'm not a victim of any circumstance that comes to me or what any person does to me, because Christ is Lord and he is ruler of my heart and my mind. And so he gets the final say on how I feel, not this person or this circumstance. And that was sort of what began this path, was just this simple truth that I don't have to be tossed to and fro by every wind of my feelings and my emotions. And that was about 18 months ago. And that's kind of what began this journey. Yeah.
That's so good. I love, you just said it and it really struck me. It's like, I'm not a victim.
Yeah.
And like, it is so easy to slip into this place in my mind of like, gosh, life is just happening to me and I can't catch my breath. I don't know. Can you dig a little further into that, like, victim mindset?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that comes to my mind a lot with it is self-pity. Sure. I think self-pity is really, really subtle and really dangerous. And I can only speak from my own experience, so I can't speak for anyone listening, but I know that as a mom, and as someone who does a lot of her day in the shadows and not, like you said, not thanked or applauded, or, you know, there's no big following, like no one's cheering for you while you're cleaning up the puke or doing the diaper or whatever it is. I do think, and especially when we do not, when we're not vigilant about taking our thoughts captive, it is very easy to slip into very subtle forms of self-pity. And that victim, you know, mindset is really, look at all these things that have happened. Look at how my husband's not doing his part. Look at how my kids don't appreciate this, or they're not behaving like this, or everyone else seems to have it together. Everyone else seems to be able to do it this way or that way. And the more time we spend on social media, usually the worse it is, because we see their highlight reel, you know, and it looks like they're just killing it every single day and doing amazing. And it's pretty quick that we go down this path of, why can't my days go better? And why didn't I get any sleep last night? And how come everything keeps breaking at my house? And how come, and we just begin this cycle, and our emotions just tank. Right. And of course they're linked to our thoughts. And so when we don't take our thoughts captive, then we're not taking our emotions captive, and they just tailspin. And, I think we do a lot of emotional free fall, unfortunately, rather than recognizing that, yes, this thing has happened to me and I have a choice. Mm-hmm. At every turn, I have a choice which way I will go, because if Jesus Christ lives in me and his Holy Spirit lives in me, then I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me, and I am no longer a victim. And that's really, you know, not to get off too much, but that's really the power of the second mile. You know, if you read through what Jesus is saying, when he says, you know, if someone slaps you on the cheek, you turn the other. If someone sues you and takes your cloak, you offer your tunic as well. If someone unfairly and unjustly forces you to go 1 mile, you offer to go 2. The secret of the second mile is that you break the power of the victim feeling by going it one more than you are demanded, right? So if my day looks terrible and it feels like it's not fair and it's, and I have to do this and I have to do that, the only way to break the power of that victim feeling is by being twice as willing to do what is required of me as it is demanded. So if I go, I'm not only going to do this thing, I'm going to do this thing cheerfully.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to do this thing better than you even are requiring me to do this thing. There's this power in it, because I'm no longer a victim. I'm no longer have to do this thing. I'm now voluntarily going a second mile. And there's something so, for our emotions, you know, I can't explain it necessarily, but I know it from experience that there is something so emotionally freeing about no longer being in that first mile of being a victim. I'm now walking in the second mile where I'm free. Mm-hmm. And I'm offering to do even more than this day has demanded of me.
Yeah.
I think that the power of flipping that thing on its head is, I'm more willing to serve you than you are to demand it of me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of power in that.
That's beautiful. Okay, then I have to hit you with the other side of it, because I completely agree and I resonate with everything you're saying.
Yeah.
But I come from also a long line of stuffers who, you know, they don't ever sit with their sadness.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a something that's hard for me to sort out once.
Yeah.
Like, when is it appropriate to put down a boundary? When is it appropriate to sit with your, call it out and say, I am really hurt and sad over this. I'm going to take some time with it. And when is it appropriate to push through?
Yeah.
Not be the victim. I think I've experienced what you're talking about too, but I wanted to call out the other side of it too, because I've lived there also.
Yeah. Great, great question. There's a book called Encouragement by Larry Crabb, and he has this great section in it on emotions and how do we know what you're saying? How do we know when to express those things and when not to express those things? Yeah. And one main point that he makes that I just think is so powerful is that as followers of Jesus, we're never called to pretend. So in order to overcome some of our emotions and those things that we're experiencing, the answer is not to pretend. So he would, and sometimes understandably it can seem like that, right? So especially we live in a culture that celebrates authenticity, and we want to just, you know, act out of however we're feeling, and even to not act out of what we're feeling is seen as being fake or false or inauthentic, or even it's even an injustice toward ourself if we don't allow ourself to fully express how we feel. So we have this sort of strange thing going on. So he would say that we tend to fall into two ditches. So one is repression, which is just, I'm going to ignore this and I'm going to tell myself that it doesn't hurt. And in my book, Sacred Mundane, We have, there's this section where it's called The Paint is Pear. And it talks about my tendency, like you said, to just pretend that something doesn't bother me, you know? And so I just make my eyebrows higher and higher and I just try to be more enthusiastic. Yeah. And it just this silly story about when I was pregnant with our first child and we had this heinous colored bedroom that was this bright, bright, bright lime green. And my solution was just to say, it's pear colored. I like it, you know? And I just thought, if I just tell myself that I like it enough, then I will. And interestingly enough, I read a book by Larry Crabb and, you know, the freedom for me came when he said, joy and contentment is not found in pretending that you like everything. It's found in being honest about it and recognizing I don't have to have the perfect circumstances in order to be happy. Mm. And so that freedom does not come, again, through repression or through faking it or just trying to tell myself enough times that this doesn't hurt, this doesn't hurt, you know, that's not it. But then he goes the other side, the other ditch that we fall into is unrestrained expression. So it is, I will fully express every feeling that I have. And again, we see that as our right. And we are often duped into thinking that that's what's going to help us feel better is if we express how we feel. And so then he goes, of course, into the biblical godly mode of intentional expression, which is, and I honestly think this is the key for our emotional health and knowing when to express is that we express to God first. So if I, which is the pattern of the Psalms, right? I mean, that's David. I think David was one of the most emotionally healthy examples we have in all the scriptures. And so we see his pattern of going to God with honesty. I mean, incredible honesty. Some of his imprecatory Psalms, you know, I mean, he's wishing full vengeance on his enemies.
Yeah.
And so complete honesty before God that I mean, I'm venturing just based on my own life. I don't think very many of us are brutally honest with God every single day about how we're feeling. And so because we don't go to him, we have all of these things bubbling up constantly within our heart and soul. And then we're a tangle of all of these feelings. And then we tend, again, I'm speaking of myself, we tend to gush this out into a Facebook post or dump it on a poor child that did something wrong, you know, or vent it out at our husband because he, you know, shame on him, said one wrong word.
Yeah.
And we go, where did that come from? But if I believe that if we every single day, I mean, every single day went to God and said, this hurts, or I am so angry about this thing, and even said it out loud. There's so much power, I think, in expressing out loud to God how we feel. I think that he would untangle our emotions in powerful ways. And I do believe, you know, maybe this just sounds like a stupid, simplistic answer, but I do believe that when we go to him and we pour those things out unedited, and we allow him to untangle them, I believe he shows us when to speak and when not to, and what things would be best left unsaid, and when we should go. And I mean, there's many times for all of my, you know, talk about not letting emotions be the boss, you know, I still have very honest conversations with my husband or whatever is going on about, you know, this thing really hurt. And the reason that I'm sharing with you is because I value our relationship. And I know that you're going to want to know how this hurt me. Mm-hmm. And so there's always, when we express our emotion or problem or feeling, it's with the hope that God will redeem, that God will make better, that God will better that relationship or better that person, or we're actually making ourselves vulnerable to that person, which requires humility, in order to benefit the relationship versus it's a very different thing than I just got to get this off my chest because you make me so mad. So that, I mean, those are my initial thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's honestly, this is so strange, but I just found, actually my daughter's found in our garage, cause we moved and you find all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
But this old, like prayer journal that I had, like 12 years ago or something, 10 years ago. And I know for a fact during that time, you know how you can read something you wrote a long time ago and you feel the same way and inside?
Yeah.
It was the most flowery and beautiful, respectful prayers.
Yeah.
But my, like, I was walking through grief. My marriage was in a very bad place.
Yeah.
And I was so struck. I sat and read that and thought, why didn't I just tell God the truth? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really performed in my pain and performed in my relationship with God. And it took me years to flip it, like you're saying, and I'm still in process with that.
Yeah, me too.
Of like being messy and ugly, and I probably don't even write down half the stuff I say to God.
Yeah, totally.
But like in response, a lot of my relationships have become healthier and more vibrant because I'm not looking for the affirmation and for this person to feed me the way they're not able to feed me. So it's, I love that you just said that. I sat with that. It was probably yesterday. I just sat on my couch and was like, why did I waste that time?
Yeah.
I really need to be talking to an honest friend and an honestly to God. And I don't think I knew if he was big enough to take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to remind you guys and talk to you guys about the Creative Sailor Retreats. My good friend Amanda Twilliger and I have been loving every second of the community that's been building up with us as we do these events. There is a fall one coming up with just one or two spots left. Message me if you want to jump in on that last minute. And we are also starting planning for the spring Sailor. We're passionate about creating and holding a space for you, for rest, for inspiration, for clarity and creativity. If you want to know more, please message me. And I hope to have you join us. Trying to re-enter life and re-enter the world and engage in our culture, engage in our politics, engage in our communities, is I feel like we've become maybe braver behind our keyboards and our phones.
Yep.
But like more isolated.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I know I'm so much more awkward now in like a group of friends because I've just been out of practice.
Yeah, so, out of practice, yeah.
So one degree at a time. I think that the isolation is like really a killer. It's just so so heavy and sad. So how do we inch our way out of that? Or what are some ideas that you have?
Yeah, great question. Well, I mean, I've been struck by the reality that we can have fellowship even if things have changed. And what I mean by that is just that, you know, I'm a pastor's wife and we've certainly been affected hugely by restrictions and all kinds of stuff, you know, I mean, by far, I mean, without a doubt, the most stressful season of ministry ever in the last 6 months. I mean, we've been serving the Lord together for 20 years and hands down, I've never cried so much as I have the last 6 months, just in terms of trying to make decisions in a season where people are so divided, and not necessarily our church members, but in our culture, so divided. And literally people, you know, in our congregation that have strong convictions on completely opposite ends of the spectrum and recognizing that they on both ends love Jesus, listen to him, are in his word, you know? And so trying to navigate supporting and loving and leading, such a wide range. So anyway, just saying, I get how painful this has all been. And in a lot of ways too, I think that we are collectively grieving. This is not a prophecy in any way, but I do feel like some of us sense that things aren't ever going to be the same, that things are different. And the world maybe that we enjoyed 7 months ago is very different now. And so even if we go back to gatherings, or we can hang out again, or whatever happens, there's something that's different now. And so I do think that there's a collective sort of grieving that is going on. And I think a first step is just recognizing that we're all in that together. I don't know a single person that's come through this season and they're like, I'm just rocking it. Yeah. I mean, I'm just doing great. Just loving it. I mean, I don't know a single person who's not affected deeply by all of the events of the past 6 months. And so if we could begin with just a wide painting stroke of empathy and compassion for our brothers and sisters everywhere, recognizing this has been rough on all accounts for everyone. And I think too, recognizing, I think everyone has felt lonely at some level, everyone. I mean, I know it's funny because I remember in the past, I remember listening to people say that America was a lonely place. And I'm just being completely honest. I remember thinking, I'm not lonely. I've never been lonely. I have tremendous friends. I have incredible friend net. You know, I've fellowship, and I remember thinking that. And there have been moments during these past 6 months, I have just wept to my husband and said, I have never felt so lonely in my entire life. And then talking to other friends who, again, even have solid marriages, good friends, and they feel this incredible sense of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And so I think number one, just recognizing, just knowing that we all feel it on some level, that no one is just, again, rocking it in this season. And so beginning from a place of honesty and humility and how you're doing and listening. I mean, I think we're all starving for a listening ear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number one, you know, just not another rant online, but just someone who will actually sit next to us face to face, skin to skin, and say, you know, what are you afraid of right now? What's been the hardest part of this season? You know, what's keeping you up at night? Where are you? I mean, I know this is all, it's all just obvious stuff, but it's like, we have to learn to sit face to face and listen. And I think without being threatened, you know, there's just so many different views going on right now. And so, it can feel like, at least this is, again, I can only speak for myself. I can feel afraid of listening because so many people seem so angry. I'm not quite sure what's going to come out. Mm-hmm. And so if we could somehow get over that fear and just be brave enough to say, you know, what do you think? Or how are you feeling? Maybe that would maybe at least get things going.
Yeah. What's your opinion on this? I was interviewing someone last night and they said something that struck me and I forget about it. It's not really in my personality to be like, I guess a demon hunter, but they said, like, they were trying to kind of pin down some of the things that are going on. And they said, you know, we just always forget that this isn't like a flesh and blood battle. And I started thinking, like, I have this incredible friends and family, but there's just this blanket that's settled over me, and I know other people have felt it, of that, like, isolation and loneliness and, like, frozenness, where you just feel sort of frozen. And I just wonder, like, how much of that is just the enemy pouncing on people that, you know, I don't know how much, what are your thoughts about that?
No, I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm not that person either looking for every, but I have been struck, even, you know, even in recent events and, oh goodness, my family and I watched the debacle of the debates last night and just being struck by, I just was so, so struck by the battle going on here is not human flesh, blood. There is so much spiritually going on. And, you know, I know, I'm sure we all agree with this, but our hope is so not in some human answer and some this new this or this new whatever. Mm-hmm. We desperately need Jesus. And it just sounds cliche and it sounds pat answer, but I am struck all over again. I mean, I just have this burden to pray more than say anything right now. I mean, I think I was just reading a quote. My kids and I right now are reading The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Mm-hmm. So many things applying to the world we live in right now. But she has this great quote, you know, about in prayer, we move from the realm of what is impossible into the realm of, you know, humanly possible, into the realm of what is divinely possible, which is anything. I mean, God can change hearts. God can completely turn events around at the you know, drop of a hat. And so I wholeheartedly agree that what's going on is not just what we see. I don't think it's just a pandemic. I don't think it's just this tension or this election season or this thing going on. I think there is an enemy at work in our souls, in our hearts, and especially inciting us against each other. That we have to take aim at the real enemy. And I think, again, not to get, you know, off, but like in the second mile, I think one of the key things that surfaces when Jesus says, do not resist the one who is evil, Jesus isn't saying, he says that in Matthew 5:39, do not resist the one who is evil. He's not saying, don't resist evil. He's saying, don't resist this person that you see in front of you, because you have to recognize that the real battle is not in the person you see in front of you.
Right.
The real battle is this evil force, as we see in Ephesians, the spirit that is at work, the powers and principalities and heavenly places that are working against good and against God and against his kingdom and against his people. We have to recognize who the real enemy is, and the real enemy wants us to take aim at people and blame the things that we can see, instead of recognizing, you know what, the enemy is actually at work here, making me hopeless, making me isolated, making me feel numb, making me feel hatred or prejudice against these certain people. He is the one at work behind the scenes. And so I wholeheartedly agree. I think if we don't recognize that, we're just sitting ducks for his schemes. Because we'll just take aim at human answers rather than seeing behind all of it. So,
I
agree.
Good. That is like, to me, like cold water in the face. And going back to what you talked about earlier about emotional health and not letting your feelings be the boss of you, something in me wants to wake up and rise up when I am just in wallow mode and be like, oh, wait, no, like this is just me being completely distracted because maybe God wants to use me in some way. And Satan is just like, I can keep her distracted and down, you know? I think that if we kind of got our game faces on a little bit more, it would be less destructive for ourselves and the people around us. We could start marching forward if we knew what we were fighting against, you know?
I am really taking it one day at a time, and but it has been good, even though it's all very different. I have to say it's been good to really take a step back from all of the commotion and frenzy of travel and speaking and It's been good to step away from all of that and go, okay, it's just me and Jesus here. And, you know, no one's watching whether I do this or that. I mean, I think that's one thing that a lot of people are having to face right now is if you're not a part of an actual church gathering or a Bible study or this or that, or all those sort of external things that we had that kind of kept us on track, you know, are we still abiding? Are we still seeking him? Are we still spending time in prayer? So I have no idea about the future, but it's been a good season to be home as a family more. I've spent a lot more time with my kids, which has been great.
So tell everyone where they can find you. I know you mentioned your book, you mentioned your podcast. What is the name of your podcast, The Second Mile?
It is. Everything's just under my name, Kari Patterson. So KARIPATTERSON. My website is karipatterson.com. Podcast is Kari Patterson. My email is Kari Patterson. Facebook is Kari Patterson. The Instagram is Kari Patterson. And I'm really original. It's just my name. So that's the easiest. The easiest way to find anything. My book's anywhere. You know, you can get my book anywhere, Amazon, all that kind of good stuff. But I have all that on my site too. Some eBooks and links to podcasts and all that kind of stuff. But I'd love to, if anybody wants to talk more or say, I don't agree with that. What do you think about this? I'm always up for those conversations. So
that's awesome. Thank you so much. I've soaked in a lot. I feel fed from this conversation.
Thank you. It was delightful to be with you. We're trudging through Corona season, both pregnant.
I know you're leading the way. You have to give birth to them before me, so you can tell me if you made it. Hopefully.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, don't be afraid to reach out and give me your best ideas or suggestions or questions and just to visit. I love hearing from you guys. Always helps to get a rate and a review. That means a lot. And just share with a friend. Can't wait to talk to you guys again soon.